So the game is David Fincher's third film. It looks real sleek, like a car commercial.
Yeah, man.
And
it's the movie I most equate with his style in my mind when I think of his films.
Definitely, yeah.
It's very.
It's got the wood. Social Network looks like
this. It's got his filters. It's got the colors. Yeah. You know, like all the way through it. It's mostly shot at night, so that you can make every sort of light the type of light he wants and all that sort of thing.
And the set design is all very this like upper crest sleek, like Benjamin Button and like.
It's his second film in San Francisco that I know of. I don't know if there's more. I can't really think of any of them other ones. You know, Seven's not San Francisco. Alien 3 is not San Francisco. Fight Club is supposed to be like Delaware or something.
Yeah.
So I can't remember. But I mean, you know, he obviously has a connection to San Francisco. He's done two films, you know, there now.
Yeah, it could be incidental or just, you know, could be for real. I mean, he worked with... His early career was like a...
It was music videos.
Well, he was before that, he was a matte painter and I think visual effects photographer for Lucas. Which would be out of San Francisco.
Yeah. San Francisco-ish.
So it's possible maybe he, you know, maybe that's his hometown. Maybe that's his stomping grounds. Yeah, it's really definitely his style. And that's, I mean, I own this movie.
It's very style over everything else.
Yeah, I own this movie, and I think I could watch this movie every 10 years or something. But it's a pretty ridiculous premise.
There's nothing to it. It doesn't make sense.
No, not really.
The ending infuriates me every time I see it.
Pretty much, but, yeah.
Every time I watch him go to that one spot on the roof to jump off.
And then hit the X like, marks the spot.
I'm like, that is so dumb.
Yeah.
Like,
I always thought that there
why
was...
Why didn't he just shoot himself?
I always thought that there was a whole scene...
Obviously the gun was fake.
Yeah, or a couple of scenes where they talked about things that happened... That weren't intentional, like we didn't know about that tag that you know that burns that you see that starts that the ball rolling on that. Like I thought that they mentioned stuff at some point to make you.
But how are you supposed to not know that he just didn't? He was supposed to see that stuff.
I know, right?
You know, like that's the thing is when you make a movie where everything is probably fake, you can throw stuff like that in to make people guess it and be like, oh, even though it means nothing.
Yeah,
it means nothing. And like Seth said at the end. Well, what was that supposed to teach him? Like, he's now a better person?
Yeah, I know,
like,
right?
Where do you get that education? Because he goes up and apologizes to Armin, you know?
A little bit, yeah. But the thing is...
But still, like, you know...
He was definitely emotionally distant. He had the whole thing about his father committing suicide and he can't come from this sort of very, like, wealthy, affluent family.
He was bordering on the Gordon Gekko.
He was,
he was close,
and he was kind of. He was sort of a. I mean, he was a dick, but he wasn't like a bad guy.
First of all, you're not one who can judge that sort of thing. Okay, so
okay, fine.
You know, he was a bad guy. He was a dick.
Okay, sure.
I mean, you said the same thing about Daniel Plainview when he put his son on the train and then tricked him into thinking he was going to the bathroom and then bailed on him.
Because he needed to be there to hold his hand when he was taking his hearing tests, instead of making a living for him and his son to pay for
his son who he didn't care about and disowned at the end of the film.
That was
I crush you.
That was at the end.
He was competing with him.
He competed with his son. That's not what you
know. His son competed with him at the end.
Right.
He's like, you know, this will make you my competitor.
What if your son grows up and starts writing articles for the Savage Henry Club movies? Can you just crush him?
What if the checks they give him are worth $11 and not
$10? Okay.
Or $21 and not
$20? Like, I mean, basic premise is that Michael Douglas is this rich guy that has no troubles, apparently, but he's unhappy and he's alone and he's divorced. And it's his birthday and his estranged brother who was a drug addict.
It's the birthday where his father, he's the age where his father had killed himself.
Yeah.
That's where he's...
His brother comes.
His father jumped off the wrong part of the roof.
Yeah, he did.
His game.
Yeah.
That's
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you're really this. I don't know why.
His dad should have come out at the end and been like, we've been playing this since you were 8, buddy.
Yeah.
How you feeling? Happy birthday. I'm glad you didn't jump off the wrong part.
It's like so many people like are in this movie. Well, not necessarily in this movie, but. I mean, like, Michael Douglas and Sean Penn are in this movie. Sean Penn was kind of a C-lister at this stage. We talked about how he had kind of dropped off.
This was pre-Dead Man Walking.
Yeah. But David Fincher, like makes this movie look real good and sound real good and feel good. Maybe he just thought he was
riffing. He makes it a lot better than it.
Yeah,
is.
Maybe he thought he was riffing on a Hitchcock thing or something here. But
yeah, it's Hitchcocky, but Hitchcocky always has a point.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like someone actually is getting screwed, and then the guy gets revenge at the end.
Exactly, you know. And this doesn't really do that. It really
except for the birds.
It leaves you at the end, just like you said, kind of angry. Like, really, there is no twist. It's just that all this stuff did work out. And
but it's Inception. Such, like it doesn't make sense.
No, Inception works.
But Inception has, like, you know, many layers, and it could mean other things. The one thing I was going to say about what you just said is, you know, they do that thing where the camera pulls back several, you know, things, and they start doing the...
At the end?
Index finger piano music.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, hey, maybe if he gets in this cab with this chick, then, you know, he's going to find out that, he's going to wake up in prison with his, like, butthole ripped open. Like, that just, the game just continues.
Yeah, it just keeps going. Yeah, I think I mean, that's kind of half-hearted, though. It is for sure. Here's the thing: I mean, the movie, it's like kind of R-rated, but not really. It doesn't need to be.
They threw in just random F-words here.
They had Sean Penn say the F-word 15 times about halfway through for no reason, and in that sense, it kind of like it's supposed to be. It's almost like it almost plays like it's like a modern like adult like fable kind of. Or a fairy tale sort of thing, you know. But Seth's got a point. Like, really, what is the trial? The trial is all artificial, so the lesson is very murky. And it's just like he lightens up a little bit.
I think it's just one of those trite things where he now appreciates his life more, and he's, you know, he says he's going to call his ex-wife.
Like, but what does that matter?
In the beginning, he wasn't going
to
talk to
his ex-wife. Has moved on, you know. It's like, that kind of doesn't matter either.
He can still be friends with her.
Well, I'm sure, yeah.
That's an important thing.
But at the same time,
did they have a kid together?
I don't know.
I don't know if that was his kid or not.
I kind of thought it might have been because she'd only been divorced for like 3 years, they said, in the conversation he had with his brother.
Yeah, that chick was older.
So it was his daughter.
I think that, you know, the
maybe the screenplay
the major flaw is this.
Got it somehow.
This company has all these people working for it, and every single thing works perfectly.
Right? Yeah.
So these are the people that helped Bush do 9/11, right?
They did that.
Because it would take a massive cabal of people, every single person doing every single thing correctly for no one to know that this was a major
thing. The timing,
everything is absolutely perfect all the way through.
I still call shenanigans, and she mentions it in the movie about her apartment, like when those guys with Uzis attacked and stuff started blowing, like those were all pre-set up squibs or something.
Yeah.
They just pop, 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 pop.
What about his car?
Yeah, the car.
His car when they shoot it?
And they shoot it?
Yeah.
They should just start like a delivery service like UPS and take all that talent and all that time.
But the thing is, this movie is such a product of its time because the gall of thinking and a wide audience would care about like this like pampered. I mean, they do kind of pay lip service to it with the news reporter when he's talking to him. This pampered fat cat guy who's kind of sad. But so then let's just everybody in the world is gonna just do something to help him cheer up a little bit or something. Give him an adventure. At all this cost and energy and time.
They did it for money.
They did it for money, sure, but. It's still, it kind of even goes above and beyond that, where all his employees and everything like get drawn in and have to kind of play along in places and stuff, and it's just like, it's like to me the premise of the movie requires a lot of the audience in terms of like sort of a weird kind of escapism. I don't know if it exists anymore in this day and age. Like 1997 was kind of a charmed year where. People would care.
Are you serious?
I'm doing the over-under on Zach buying this right now. No, I'm serious. Think about it. Think about the kinds of movies.
Didn't and the kinds of realize what you had said. I didn't know if you said it was a charmed year or not.
Think about the kinds of dilemmas and things that were put forth in like the mid to late 90s as like sort of seeming like important things, like, you know, people like Generation X and like the dourness of society and our generation is our lot, our Great Depression is our lives and all this whiny stuff. I mean, that post 9/11 and post like all this other stuff that's happened between now and then, and, you know, collapsing economies and everything. It's like it really puts in perspective, like. So just because this
just
guy
like
was kind
the
of
game. Just like the game,
yeah, the game. Just like this guy was kind of
all right,
kind of emotionally.
Now he's got all in perspective because he thought, you know, all that same stuff you're saying, and then they, You know, the chick had no panties, there were dogs.
Yeah, life is tough.
He swims.
The only vague part where, like, I see anything in his character kind of minorly change is at the end when he's on that bus leaving Mexico and he's with all those people.
And he lets the Mexican woman sleep on his shoulder.
Well, and he kind of just sort of looks at him, and for a split second he kind of like sort of smiles like you know, like this is how people live. For a split second.
No, you're making this up.
No, I'm not making myself feel better about it. It's just that it's this kind of movie that's, I mean, I don't know. It's just very strange because to exist, and people would see it and they'd be like, really? That was, it's
what,
almost.
What do you think is a more frivolous film, that or Panic Room?
Well, Panic Room has ostensibly got the suspense thriller,
it's a mom and daughter with an actual threat.
Yeah, exactly.
But you don't know there's an actual threat till the end.
No, you know, in Panic Room, you know.
In the game.
Yeah, for a first watch, the game is much more satisfying.
The game is satisfying until the end when it pulls the rug.
Yeah, and then,
like, guess what? The entire thing they said it was the whole time, it was. So, yeah. Too bad you paid $8 or whatever.
And then it just becomes an exercise in enjoying, like you said, the stylism, which is why I own it, because it just looks really good. You can almost have it on in the background.
But Panic Room is just your run-of-the-mill average thriller as directed by David Fincher, so you can go through walls and through pipes with his camera.
The only reason that would be worth revisiting, in my opinion, is to sort of see...
I like watching it just to watch Dwight Yoakam shoot Jared Leto in the eye.
That's good. Yeah, that is good.
I like seeing that anytime.
I would say, those are definitely his weaker two films, in my opinion. It's The Game and Panic Room.
Yeah, easily.
I'd probably give The Game, like a 2.5.
Well, when I first saw it, I'd probably give it higher, but I'd probably give it around 2.5.
No, the first watching is very enjoyable. We watched it together a long time ago on VHS on a tiny TV. And it was definitely a lot of fun. But there was that incredulous moment at the end where you're like, wait a minute, every time I thought I was figuring this out...
Turns out I was, but which bothers me
because
I shouldn't know this,
and they shouldn't have been able, this all shouldn't have been like he shoots the gun the PI has, and it was a real bullet in that first one, or they popped the tire to timing just right. I mean, maybe there's guys walking around with remote controls following them the whole time, setting things off and doing stuff.
Sounds
like
right.
Who knows? But it is a. You said frivolous is a good word in terms of this massive multi-million-dollar company just to provide leisurely distraction-y games for the uber wealthy at great cost and mayhem and chaos to everybody else. I mean, they're shutting down streets in San Francisco to have car chases and stuff. I mean, just on that level, you got to think, like, what was that going to have to do? Yeah.
And, you know, at the end they mentioned, you know, that the bill was
crazy. Yeah, they at least, like, make that, like, sure. Wink at the camera
so that's,
joke.
That's great.
Yeah.
But at the same time, who cares?
Yeah.
Why does any of it matter?
Exactly, right?
Did he grow? You don't know. He pats a girl on the head, he talks to his ex-wife, and he says sorry to an Armenian guy. So, like, that's supposed to show you that his character has changed?
He hugged his brother.
He hugged his... I mean, sure.
I think you're right.
Because he thought he'd killed him.
I think the flaw...
It's a natural response, right? When you see him not dead?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I think that's the problem is that... I mean, as much as you know, he's a dick at the beginning, I don't think he's enough of a dick at the beginning for...
What if all that at the end was, you know, his game. He was imagining it.
What if it was
he
that
actually
kid,
had died?
That autistic kid from St. Elsewhere imagining it, you know?
Yeah.
What if he was playing the game on all of them?
Yeah.
And they all owe him $85 million now? Your combined tab is this much.
It's like I had the Russians from CR, the Russian version of CRS, come in here and do it.
They just all killed them.
You owe a lot of rubles.
another memorable thing happened. A notable thing in this film is that at the same time when keys fell out of the glove box,
we both thought from Lethal Weapon 2, they were just like gonna, they were just like they pulled that shot out of Lethal Weapon 2 and inserted it in there. Yes,
pulled out and inserted the things I love
this
the
is
most
podcast
it's the best game. I don't know, this is the tail end of the podcast. I think we get to 300
tail end.
Like I said, if people don't email in and say that they like it,
nobody does that. Nobody does that on popular.
No, but popular podcasts at least like have a handful of people that comment on stuff. And if
you,
no one
you
after four or five, no, I mean actual people.
real life.
I don't count as a person. Yes, real life people. And so it's like, you know, if no one cares
people
after
who think
years,
Michael Douglas's character in the game needed redemption.
Exactly, right?
Okay, now on to more pressing matters. What's the deal with Highlander 3?
Oh, no, well, the woman from the game is in Highlander 3. But
okay.
I'm pretty sure Seth was messing with me today when I explained to him that there is actually people called Highlanders. That it's what you call the Scottish people that live in the Highlands of Scotland, and that they're Lowlanders.
So you thought he was pulling the wool over your eyes.
Well, they're Highlanders, right? he told me I was
they're from the Highlands.
He told me I was tailgating this person because I was driving him home.
Right.
They were in a Highlander, so I was like, it's a Highlander. I'm going to try to take his power. And then Ian was like, you know, they're actually Highlanders. You went into this whole thing about it.
it turned into a geography lesson.
Yeah.
A sociological
and you speech. Know that though, right? You
of course I know.
Okay. Wasn't sure.
I didn't think they were all.
Leave to Ian to believe that somebody might not know some rudimentary fact about Scottish people.
It could be trivial too.
Okay, and so what else? I want to hear this better.
That was all there was to it. I mean,
I was led to believe this was going to be a really epic conversation about Highlander,
but
and its ins and outs.
It's one of those at the time things, but. The great joke is of course that Sean Connery plays a Spaniard who's a Highlander,
Ramirez.
But he's actually Scottish. Yeah.
Ramirez. He's a Scottish guy.
Is he Egyptian?
He's a Scottish guy playing an Egyptian named Ramirez, who's been living in Scotland for hundreds of years.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So he's multinational.
If your neck leaves your head, your life will end.
Does he actually
No.
He never says that.
He
that's
says,
one of those lines that you
that
said,
I invented.
That you
yeah,
happened.
I thought it's like I
think Arnold says, Billy
leaves your head.
If your neck just separates itself from everything else, and because a guy has two swords, it goes like this, and the neck part just flies out. Because he has two swords, the guy falls behind him with a sledgehammer to knock.
No. The actual version I came up with is also not. Is if your head leaves your neck, your life will end.
But that doesn't rhyme.
If your head leaves your neck, your life will end. And instead, he just says, what did he say?
He's like, don't get your head off.
he's like, if your head comes off, that's it. I'm like, I write better than the guy that wrote Highlander. I need to punch up that Highlander script.
I'm guessing he either killed himself or he died of an OD by now.
I'm sure it's probably gone.
Highlander's a good movie, though.
I like the first one.
Yeah, the first one's like an okay film a little bit.
A good automobile.
And then they go pretty crazy after that. What happens in the third one?
The third one is
they basically say the second one didn't happen in the third one, right?
They kind of ignore that, or at very least, you could look at it as from a chronological standpoint, the third one would take place before the second one. Because the second one takes place like in the future, like
sure,
in 2010
sure,
or something.
Oh, 2010.
Yeah, exactly, right. And so the third one takes place in like 1997.
Don't they like fly on something to get somewhere in the second one?
In the second one, there's these little hover things that the bad guys come in because Michael Ironside sends them forward.
Yeah.
Because they're aliens. Yeah.
He sends
them after the Highlander because.
The Highlander that you guys were tailgating, right?
After McCloud, yeah. That Seth was tailgating. That
you wouldn't have done that.
No, I wouldn't.
He was too busy talking about how nice that Saturn was.
No, it wasn't that nice a Saturn.
Is Highlander 2 set in Saturn?
No, it's set on Earth, but after, like... They
so there's Lowlanders in Highlander 2, right?
Lowlander.
I think so, yeah.
The Lowlander.
There's
did they ever come across any Lowlanders in those films?
There was no Highlanders, right?
They haven't graduated. It's the JV.
No, I remember in one of the movies, it shows the Highlander home planet, right?
Yeah, that's
in
the second
two.
One.
Yeah. And then there's the Lowlanders, right? No, I haven't seen it in a while.
No, there's Michael Ironside who was like running like a tyranny on the planet. And
do you think when the Kurgan and Ironsides got together in Starship Troopers, they waxed nostalgic about the trilogy they'd been in before?
They were never acted together.
I know they never acted together, but like, hey, you were in Highlander 2, right? Yeah, you were in Highlander 1.
I doubt it. I mean, I think that those guys, like, a lot of that those crappy movies are just for, you know, for pay. I wonder how many of those actors really do get involved in those terrible
roles. If you watch if you read the random roles thing on AV Club, a lot of the time they'll be like, I was in that?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, I was in that, huh? You're like, oh, yeah, that was cool, I guess. I mean, they paid
me. Exactly, yeah. And that's what it usually, I mean, I don't know, I'm inclined to think that someone like Clancy Brown, at least, has an appreciation for, like, his Luthor in the Superman and Justice League cartoons is really good. And, I mean, there's something there to that character. So I'm inclined to think that, like, that one is something. If you talked to him about that, he would probably have something to say.
Over being Kurgan?
I'm sure the Kurgan is another big one. I mean, really, if you think about Clancy Brown, let's see, he's the Kurgan. He's the voice of Lex Luthor.
Starship Troopers guy. That's what I think.
He's actually really, really good in the Starship. I haven't seen that movie in a while. I could rewatch that again.
It was terrible.
Starship Troopers is a good
movie.
What
are you talking about?
It's terrible.
The first one?
Satire.
It's really good.
You don't like satire?
I don't like terrible movies. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you do?
You should love... You watched Death Tunnel.
Yeah, either way.
That tunnel was like... That was... I don't know about you, but I was just playing chicken with Zach all the time. Like,
I think I fell asleep. I think I lost Death Tunnel. Yeah, I fell asleep.
He did fall asleep. I was looking for him to say, hey, I'm going to go to sleep and turn this off. And so
I just
fell asleep with it on, and I was sitting there like...
That way I can say I never meant to do it.
Yeah.
You, like, watch Giga Shark versus, like, Mega Snake and stuff. I mean...
I still haven't seen Octo Shark or what...
The one with Debbie Gibson and Tiffany? That one's going to be on again. I think it might be on tonight.
Oh. That's Shark versus Python or whatever, but... What was the one that had the shark that had the octopus legs?
Sharktopus.
I still haven't seen that.
Yeah, that one did look good.
Was that a Corman?
I think they all are.
No, they're not all. He's like every other one.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, I don't know. Anyway,
when I first heard that one, I thought it was just about a shark banging a chick.
Oh. Or that it was like a Bond villain shark.
Shark to pussy.
Yeah. Now start losing.
Yeah,
20,000. Yeah, no, so that Highlander trilogy is a little...
I recently watched all the Indiana Jones films.
What, you just decided to do that?
Yeah, I just...
Do you own them?
No, I stole them off the internet.
Oh, okay.
Not that I would ever do that, but I did it.
I have one in my box upstairs.
No, I don't want to hear about that. In your box? What does that mean?
I have them upstairs.
You have a box?
Whenever I finish watching something, I just take it off my shelf so that I'll watch everything. And
that way you don't accidentally watch the thing you watched 2 days before.
I don't know. I have a system that I'm clearing things out, organizing things.
Is there a certain day of the week where you clear them out and you put them in the box?
No. When I'm done watching it.
Like Monday afternoon.
Maybe
4:30.
Yeah, around 4 o'clock.
4:37.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. The Indiana Jones movies are great. I saw parts of Raiders. They were doing them on USA. They were actually showing them. At least they're showing Raiders. They kept showing 4. My mom kept stopping.
Yeah, I refuse to believe that's part of it.
Yeah, I know.
Fallen the other day.
With Denzel and John Good, Johnny Good.
I remember that one being better than it actually was because I liked the premise of it at the end. I liked
it. Yeah, the end and all that. Yeah, it is.
It was kind of like The Hidden. Or what was that?
Yeah, The Hidden with the Alien, with Kyle MacLachlan. Hidden is good.
I remember The Hidden.
There's two aliens. Well, whatever.
It's like
MacLachlan.
And?
Instead of being a spirit, it's like an alien that actually like crawls in their mouth.
Yeah, it's really pretty gross.
But it's the same sort of idea. It just transfers bodies.
And it's obsessed with, like, hedonism, like
physical pleasure. So, is it like Dreamcatcher?
Ah, I didn't see that. I wouldn't know.
It's like
that's terrible. You guys seen Dreamcatcher, right? You guys should check out Dreamcatcher. You'll love it. It's really, really awful. It's maybe the worst Stephen King adaptation.
Have you seen Desperation?
Oh, it's awful. It's worse than Tommyknockers, Langoliers.
Have you seen Desperation?
Oliver Bronson Pinchot. What?
You've seen Desperation?
Yes, I've seen Desperation. I've seen all of them.
It's like
I've
4 hours
Salem's
long.
Lot. I've seen Needful Things. I've seen.
Did you see the one with the
Carrie?
With the guy that flew with the kids.
I don't recall.
It was.
I saw most of these ones.
And he had like a knitted cap.
I've seen It.
The guy had a knitted cap, and he flew with. He stole the children of the main.
I guess it's your own imagination.
Island town.
Are you talking about Chitty Chitty Bang Bang?
No, it was one of the last ABC ones. You know, ABC used to make a big fucking deal out of that.
Yeah, and Mick Garris directed all of them.
Okay, fine.
He's like King's official like director.
I'm goody for him.
And most of the stuff sucks.
Yeah, it's.
You see Cat's Eye? I've seen Cat's Eye.
Cat's Eye's good. I like Cat's Eye.
Cat's Eye is good.
Cat's Eye's all right.
Yeah.
It's no Dreamcatcher though.
Okay.
The Indiana Jones films. So I start with Temple of Doom.
Because you're going chronological?
No, I just wanted to watch that one. So the thing I downloaded had all three of the only films that matter in it. So I watched the second one.
Okay.
I watched the first one.
Okay.
I watched the third one. So it is chronological.
Yeah,
I did do it on purpose.
Okay.
They're all they're all much lighter fare than I remember.
Well, yeah.
No, even more than that.
I think even with Mulan and stuff.
The first, no, come on. The second one is definitely. I enjoy it, but I understand when everyone else like is kind of like.
I enjoy it once you understand his character. But if I was just going to watch that film, I'd be like, "Who is this jerk?"
Yeah.
And why does it matter if he's doing this? I love the film. It's still, you know, I.
But it's definitely the most like one of those serials.
It's like, more like one of the serials where like you have to know the character and to fix.
And you have to just accept it.
Say anything about him.
It's an adventure, you know.
Except for, you know, his whole arc is. He only just agrees to do this thing because of the promise of fame and glory.
Well, no, fame he helps the kids at that point, too.
No, he helps. He ends up helping the kids instead of taking the fame and glory. Remember?
Well, yeah, but
ah!
Okay. No, okay, fine. the thing is...
I'm acting like an old Jewish man.
Whenever I think of the second one, and I think about like, what you said, they're all very light, and they're all... But I always think, like... The real problem with the fourth one... I mean, yeah, the fourth one is not good.
I don't want to talk about the
fourth one. But there should have been, like... I'm not talking about the fourth one. There should have been, like, eight of them. And, like, every even-numbered one could have been, like, a fun serial one like Doom.
Yeah, you're thinking too much about it.
And it would have been a lot of fun to have more adventure stories like that.
You put it on the pedestal every time. Here's what happens.
No, what happens is it gets put on a pedestal because there's only three movies. And that sucks. There should have been more so there could be more enjoyable stuff.
Like Freddy?
The first one, you get a pretty good snapshot of his character.
Yeah.
In the beginning, like even just that opening thing, it's a really expertly put together film because.
Too bad
you don't know about his past and junk in it, but you instantly get the idea that this guy, he's got something more to him than just he's robbing graves or whatever because he shows some real like anger in his face when. The guys mention, he says, Molina says, "Who's that?" He says, "Your friend or something." He goes, "A competitor." Like this is a competition to him, and this is like, you know, it's something he seriously has passion about. That's all you really need to know about the character. And then the stuff about his past with Marion Abner comes in. That's enough. That's enough for the character. That's great. You know, he's a skeptic, but then he believes in the stuff enough to respect it. You know, which is
he believes in the value of the archaeology.
Sure,
and in thwarting the Nazis, because
he respects the stuff enough. He respects the stuff enough to, for instance, tell Mary to close her eyes, and they keep their eyes.
Well, that's
when a true skeptic would have just looked, because they wouldn't have believed anything was going to happen anyway.
Well, when the magic of God is flying around you, you kind of like, okay, let's close her eyes.
He told her to close her eyes.
Yeah.
Should have been an anthropologist.
The third one has depth. It has real depth of character. It has a real character arc. It has the character's beginnings. What drives him? And then gives you an answer as to why this person would be so passionate about this stuff through the last two movies.
Yeah.
And what motivated him the entire time to find his stuff, to want it to be in a museum, to be competitive with others. All the reasons are right there. So the third one is masterfully done. That said, I think that it has a poor third act. And it kind of ended in a wishy-washy way.
Well, that's how they make it for the fourth one, though, with the crystal and the aliens and stuff.
Yeah, that's... I don't want to talk about the fourth one anymore.
No,
the
I mean...
one didn't happen.
The third act in the third movie, I think it's they got they
you,
got,
you dropped they the Nazis from the third act of the third movie. You drop the Nazis, and that's always the most interesting thing.
That's not the most interesting.
It is.
I think the thing is, what's most interesting is the character stuff.
On a pedestal.
And you get most of that. You get most of that character stuff in the first two acts because it's so well written. And then the third one can just be the adventure.
Right.
It is kind of like there's not a lot of meat left there, but there is some fun set pieces and a little adventure. There's the tank. Thing there's the no camels
after the tank thing. It's a little bit of a letdown.
That is the most exciting musical.
To go to a
yet.
Set piece inside of a you know
a guy does wall. A couple of flips and gets shot, gives the guy some water, exactly. And then it's over. Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. I mean, I'm not complaining.
No,
I feel it's a little weaker than the rest of it. I think that's overall maybe the strongest film. I don't really know if I can rank those three against each other. I think they're all great. You know, obviously the second one's not as good, but. Aside from that, I can't rank them so much. So I watched those.
Yeah. The Indiana Jones movies are really good, and the series is really good, too. The series does a lot, especially in the second season, for the whole
Now, when you watch the series, are you watching the old-fashioned version that has the bookends with the guy with the eye patch? Or are you watching the redone version by Lucas?
The redone version doesn't have the eye patch guy. Yeah, they just completely removed so what the eye patch guy. That's what you can find on DVD and stuff. It doesn't. But I remember seeing the first couple episodes with the old eye patch guy.
I watched it in my grandparents' house in Los Angeles.
And I was like, that's weird. Back when it was on way too late for kids to watch. It was like on at 9 o'clock on Monday nights and shit.
You're allowed to watch that kind of stuff?
I don't remember. I just remember seeing the guy.
Yeah. And then Harrison Ford's in that one episode.
Yeah, right.
About the saxophone or whatever.
Yeah. The saxophone.
The saxophone, yeah. No,
The saxophone. That's a good movie idea.
The saxophone?
Saxophone.
That's a stupid movie idea.
It's a great idea. It's a saxophone that just wants to rape people.
It's like a mutated monster saxophone.
Have you heard about that movie called Rubber or whatever? The Killer Tire movie?
Oh, I have heard something about a Killer Tire movie.
It's supposed to be awful. Like an awful idea, but it's actually supposed to be like really good. Actually like a really good horror film. It's just literally about a tire that kills people.
It's like, what's that?
Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah. We sat and watched Maximum Overdrive one time. We were like, why is this?
I think I was with you guys.
You might have been with us, I think. That's pretty bad. It might have been that same time that we were watching Empire Records or something.
Yeah, gosh, that is awful. I've been thinking about that a lot lately, too. Empire Records is the worst. That's a terrible movie. It's just annoying. It angers me.
It angers you too much. Well, this is over, huh?